discouraged, disheartened, and even sometimes tending towards disbelieving. That's according to the Irish Catholic newspaper, and it's the claim that a lot of priests these days are experiencing. The paper goes on to say that most priests struggle with a lack of moral authority and are unsupported by colleagues and by bishops. With us, the paper's editor, Michael Kelly. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, William.
And Belfast Parish priest and Sunday Sequence regular, Father Martin McGill. Good morning. He's not a bishop yet. Every week we try to pitch for him, but we'll see where he goes. Michael, lay this out for us.
I suppose, William, what I'm writing about is trying to be part of a conversation that is going on among priests themselves about the shifting sands in the church. Many of them feel very demoralised. Many of them feel very discouraged. The church itself has changed very dramatically. And I'm not talking only here about the fallout from the clerical abuse scandals.
You could say this, of course, about people in all kinds of jobs in life, couldn't you?
You certainly can. I think some of our models, some of our theologies around priesthood, some of our models of priesthood, though, are uniquely unhelpful in that I think we've tended to promote an idea of priesthood as if priests are somehow bionic, as if they don't have the same needs as other people, as if they don't have the same challenges as other people.
They're not allowed to be human.
Well, exactly. We sometimes have this theology where we say, well, you know, give without counting the cost, just spend yourself forever in the service of the Lord and you'll find great joy in that. That doesn't take account of their very real human needs that are there, particularly for people who are ministering in a church where there are less priests. Now, I was talking to a priest recently who's working in a parish now that used to have four priests and now he's the only one. And in a day, he is running that full gamut of emotions from baptizing new children into the church to dealing with family of people who have taken their own lives to visiting elderly parishioners. So that's
And then he's coming home to an empty house.
He's coming home to an empty house, and sometimes that leads people to seek solace and seek consolation in very unhealthy fashions, be that substance abuse or be that very unhealthy addictions that some develop. So I think that's something that needs to be discussed. Certainly not to put another burden onto priests to say, okay, guys, you know, you're terribly demoralised, you're this, you're that. But for the Catholic community, I think, and I suppose the wider community as well, to say we need to do something, we need to try to help ease the burden so that priests and clergy people don't feel like that, so that they feel they have somewhere to go and someone to turn to.
Father Martin, is this part of the experience of a priest today? I mean, we're all shocked when we hear that a Catholic priest or any other priest has taken their life, as if they should be somehow specially immunised from the depressions of modern life that the rest of us also face.
Well, I suppose, first of all, could I acknowledge in Michael's editorial that he'll say very clearly that the overwhelming majority of priests are happy and fulfilled in their ministry despite the challenges. So maybe let me put it into context.
How do we know that, incidentally?
Well, I suppose in terms of the actual experience of talking to some of my fellow priests, it would be very clear.
But that might be part of the problem. Would they tell you if they're not experiencing life like that?
I think in terms of individual conversations, yes, they would. And I think it really would also depend on the actual circumstances when we have the likes of a retreat or some of the conference days that we have and the opportunity to go for walks afterwards. I think there will be an opportunity to hear some of that. But yes, I mean, let me develop that a little bit further, which is suppose I don't think we have a culture where maybe we as priests can share some of the struggles that we actually have. And to go back to the point you're making, I think there's a danger of spiritualizing us to such an extent that we can lose the whole human side of things. And I think that's the point you're making. I think that's the value of Michael's article. And I've read it a few times here. And I think it's beginning to tease out some of those
issues.
And
when you talk to other priests, what are the struggles they're talking about?
I think one of the main ones would be the decline in numbers, and Michael gives the example. I have to say I find it particularly relevant because...
So overworked and emotionally isolated.
Certainly overworked. Michael also uses the word expectations. So there are expectations, and I'm going to suggest unrealistic or to sort of take the Charles Dickens great expectations, two great expectations. There's a certain sense in which I suspect for the Catholic community that we're finding it difficult to keep going the model that we've had in the past and that many of us have grown up with, and to recognise that we can't keep the show going on the road exactly as we had it in the past.
Michael, you also mentioned the role of bishops, leaders, and pastoral support of pastors which is a very important aspect of ministry life. That's failing, is it?
I think in many ways it is. I think the difficulty is that bishops themselves probably feel quite isolated as well. They're looking at a demographic cliff edge. They're looking at still the same number of parishes that they had 20 years ago with an ever diminishing number of priests. And I think that's where there's a need for those in leadership in the church to be pastorally bold, to say, look, we had that number of churches in the past because maybe 90% of our people were going to Mass on a weekly basis. That's no longer the case. Or we had churches so close together because people didn't have cars. Now people are driving 10, 12 miles to do their shopping every Saturday, but yet they still have the expectation that they can walk to Mass on a Sunday morning.
Well, should they close down some parishes?
I think many churches should be closed, yeah. I think that's the elephant in the room that no one wants to face, because we are so used to having churches on our doorsteps. If we look at our theology around the Eucharist, I mean, the idea of the Christian community coming together as one on a Sunday morning, it's not an idea of 50 people in this church and 70 people in the other church down the road. So I think we do need to be a little bit radical about that and a little bit bold about it. And I think what we need to do is look forward and say, what is the end game here? What is the outcome we want? So not so much concentrating on closing the churches, but saying, what's the more cohesive Christian community and how do we best build that? And I think that probably is with less buildings.
And it's about Christian community, Martin. It's not about having buildings.
Very much. And I suppose Michael makes a very valid point in terms of the numbers. If you're talking about the likes of 50 people as distinct from 500 people, when you have a church, I was at a funeral yesterday, I officiated at a funeral yesterday morning, when there's a really good level of participation, I think it's a hugely uplifting experience.
Yeah.
And so, for example, go back to Michael's 50, for example. It's a very, very different experience. Yes, we might say, oh, yes, there's the opportunity to meet more people or talk to more people. But in terms of an actual worship experience, a much fuller church provides a very different type of
experience. The other elephant in the room here is married priests. If you have a partner, if you have a spouse that you can go home to and get emotional support from, you'd be less isolated. There'd be someone there emotionally to assist you and help carry your burdens. But that's something we don't talk about.
Well, I suppose, again, clergy will support one another. And over the years, I mean, priests generally have found ways of being able to support one another. Now, I suppose, and I would want to bring in...
It's not a helpmeet, to use biblical language, is it?
Well, OK, absolutely. I suppose that I'm very conscious, for example, officiating at a wedding. And the reading is actually from the book of Genesis. It is not good that man should be alone as I'm officiating at the wedding of a couple. Yeah. So, yeah. But what I was going to say is that...
That's a wake-up call for you, isn't it?
Well, what I was going to say was, if I take a look at the other denominations, if I take a look at some of my friends and colleagues in some of the other Christian denominations, and I can see the very good marriages that are out there, and I can see a wife, or should I also say a husband, support the minister or the rector, whoever it might be. There's no doubt about it. I think certainly that's something the Catholic Church needs to look at.
You're a bit envious, are you, when you see that?
I have to say at times I can really see the advantage in something like that.
I mean, it's part of the Church's teaching as well that that's one of the benefits of married life. Is that emotional support?
Very much. Now, but let me not give you the impression that I'm so incredibly naive that I won't see the other side to it, which, and I've heard from, again, colleagues and friends in other denominations, that there are stages, and I've heard lines like, I sometimes envy you guys, that you don't have the same responsibility. So the whole tension of what it's like in the manse and all the expectations of sons, daughters, who maybe make very, very different choices to the likes of what dad as minister or rector.
Nearly out of time, Michael, but is that the conversation we really should be having?
I think it's certainly an element of it. I think that celibacy, if lived well, can be a beautiful thing within the church, but I'm not sure quite often that we talk about it properly, or we talk about the struggles that are there as part of it as well. So I think there does need to be a wider conversation about the challenges that celibacy creates for priests, unique challenges.
Michael, thank you very much. Michael Kelly from the Irish Catholic newspaper. You can read what he says about that in the editorial in the current edition. Thanks also to our good friend Father Martin McGill for helping us think through some of that. He's always honest. He always tells you what he thinks.